Father God, we encounter situations in our lives that are quite often bigger, badder, stronger than we are. Or sometimes we look around and we say, what am I to do or where am I to go? But Father, we know that if we belong to you, we're never truly alone. We're never truly without direction. That if we truly belong to you, we have all that we need within us as we have your Spirit. And that, Father, you will provide more above and beyond anything that we could possibly need to withstand, to overcome, and to become victorious. Father, thank you for the security, the only real security that is found in you. Thank you for love, for peace, for joy, for all those things that we would love to have, and yet, as human beings, we cannot have by our own power, and yet they're freely given by you to us. Open our hearts and our minds today, Father, to your word. Guide us by your Spirit. Help us to be still and know that you're God. Continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Bountiful and abundant. Don't answer out loud, but how many times in your life have you encountered situations where you feel less than adequate? You don't have enough. You know, my wife knows this is a pet peeve of mine. One of the worst, I hate to jump into a vehicle and you crank it up, and the "you need fuel" light comes on. I can't stand it. You know, because my thing is, if I get below half a tank, I want to gas it up. I do not want to jump in the vehicle and not have an abundant supply of gasoline. How many of you have gone into a room, the power is out, and you know the power is out, but you walk in the room and what do? You flip on the switch, right? You think the power is magically going to be there? It's just a habit, isn't it? Because we're used to that. I heard the other day a story of some men who had come over to the United States. They had come from somewhere in the Middle East, and they were from an area where the infrastructure was not built up like it is here. A lot of places they didn't have running water, and they put them up in a hotel. And they were the thing they were amazed at more than anything else was that they could go to the sink and turn on the faucet, and water would come out. They did it several times during the time they were there. They'd get to see if the water would still come out. And I heard that when they left the hotel, the faucet was missing. Because they thought somehow that faucet was going to supply them with water. They loved having the abundant supply of water. Well, don't you love to have an abundant supply of whatever you may need? Well, unfortunately, humanly speaking, we don't have an abundant supply of anything, do we? Knowledge, power, longevity, any of that thing. You know, I can remember thinking as a little kid that, you know, mom and dad talking about time went by so fast. I can remember thinking, no, it doesn't. It drags out. You know, I was a kid in the summertime between school and thinking, man, this is, you know, it lasts forever. I'm never going to make to the 12th grade, you know. And now I wonder where time went. So we have a lot of things that go on in our lives, but probably as human beings, whether we're Christian or not, we all experience moments in our lives where we say, I feel inadequate. I don't have an abundance. But we're going to look at that today. First of all, our scripture comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Now, I used this chapter last week for the kids during Kids with the King, but I focused on a different portion. This time, I want to focus on just verses 1 and 2 of Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Notice that second verse especially here. Why, speaking to humans, God says, why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. We spend so much of our life, so much energy, so much money, yes, but so much of our life force and our lifetime as human beings pursuing those things which do not ultimately satisfy, which do not ultimately give bounty and abundance, those things which do not last, and yet we give our lives over to them. The world spends its energy spinning its wheels chasing these things that do not last. Any of you ever had a hamster or a gerbil or a mouse and you had the little wheel? What'd the mouse do? It gets on the wheel and man, it's Diane had a little hamster and he wouldn't make any noise during the daytime, but at night he'd get in there on that wheel and he'd fly 100 miles an hour on that wheel, but he never went anywhere. And that's what we do as humanity, as man, we spend our energy on these things that do not satisfy. Jesus tells us in His Word to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things that humanity spends all their time going after. All these things will be added to you. So I want you to think today as we look at this, why is it that we don't have an abundance, that we don't have a bounty? And now when I'm saying abundance and bounty, I don't mean of material possessions, because those things don't last. I mean, why do we spend our lives pursuing those things that don't last and pay little to no attention to the things that will last forever? Let's keep going. My favorite verse, probably of all verses, is found in the second half of John 10:10. John 10:10, Jesus speaking here, He says, the thief, and now the thief He is talking about is named Satan. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus Christ came to give us life, but not just life hereafter, not just life in the basics, but life in the abundance. Now again, I'm not talking about earthly possessions. Those things are trivial and insignificant. God wants to bless you with a whole lot more than cars and things like that. So let's keep looking. Let's keep looking. How many times, I want you to answer this to yourself. How many times do we come up short in life? How many times do you come up short? You're facing something, something's going on in your life, and you come up short. Or you want to do something and you come up short. Why do we come up short? When Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Some things I noticed as I was studying for this week. Here's a couple of thoughts as we get to going into this thing. Life is more than just surviving. Life is more than just surviving. It's not just getting up today, go do what you got to do, and go back to bed and do it all over again. It's not just about that. It should be about thriving. God did not create you just to survive. He created you to thrive, to be like that tree planted by the waters of life, sucking up the water of life, leafing out, branching out, and producing fruit. Christians should be bountiful and abundant. Epicurus said this, "Not what we have, but what we enjoy constitutes our abundance." That's true. Abundance is not found in the measure of things you possess. It's not found in the measure of things you possess. Barbara Taylor said this, "The abundance of our lives is not determined by how long we live, but how well we live." Christ makes abundant life possible if we choose to live it now. I've used this illustration many times at a funeral. That you look at a gravestone, you see the date of birth, and you see the date of death. You had no control at all over your date of birth, little to none over the date of your death. The little dash in the center is what you have control over. And that's what matters. The date of your birth does not matter. The date of your death does not matter. What matters is that dash. What have you done with your life? Are you living? Or are you just existing? So three things we want to consider today as we think about abundance, as we think about bounty in our lives, realizing that true abundance, that true bounty really only comes from the person of Jesus Christ. We only have this abundance and a bounty if we have a life lived in a relationship with Jesus Christ. At some point in your life, you have had to have come to the realization, to the conclusion that you are insufficient, that you have messed up, and you realize that you need a Savior. At some point in your life, you say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Clean me up. Be my Lord and be my Savior." When you do that, you establish a relationship with Jesus Christ, and then you can have the abundance and the bounty that comes from God's Spirit living in you and through you. We realize that when we get Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have an abundant grace. An abundant grace. Now, another word for grace is what? Love, right? Love. We have an abundant love. The grace of God, the love of God, is the undeserved love of God. What does that mean? It means you don't deserve it, I don't deserve it. God loves us so much, He has given it to us. When I was dead in my trespasses and sins, when you were dead in your trespasses and sin, Scripture says God loved us. God sent His Son to be the payment for, Scripture says the propitiation, the payment for my sins. God's abundant grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the what? Gift of God. God loves us. Why does God love us? I don't know. He just chooses to do so. The grace of God, the agape love of God, is an undeserved, unmerited love that He has abundantly poured out upon us. You may not feel love today, but I promise you, you are loved with an everlasting love because God loved you when He formed you. He still loves you today, and He will love you when He takes you home or when you go into your eternal destiny, whichever that is. Because God loves even those that are going to hell. Now, somebody asked the question this morning, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? God does not send you to hell. We send ourselves. Amen? We're going to go there across the blood of Jesus Christ. God created you for a relationship with Him. He sent His Son to die so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you go to hell, it's your own fault. And you send yourself there. God didn't send you there. God created hell for Satan, not for you. So if you wind up there, it's because you rejected the greatest offer ever given to anybody. The unmerited, undeserved love of God without strings attached. You cannot be too bad. You cannot be too wrong. You cannot be too messed up that God can't reach you. I don't care who you are today. There's nothing you have done, nothing you are currently thinking about doing that can shock God because He knows our heart. He's seen it all. And Jesus Christ died for it all. You are not beyond the reach of God. I know people that have told me, well, you know, I'm going to clean my life up and then I'm going to come to church. Uh-uh. Don't clean your life up and come to church because you're never going to clean it up. Let Jesus clean your life up. Come to church to get saved. Okay? Don't come to church because you're clean. Church is not for clean folks. Church is for sinners. Amen? So you can't be too messed up or too far out there that you can't be reached by His love. Okay? General grace. Now, what do I mean by general grace? God gives general grace to all. That means He gives the rain on the just and the unjust, sends the sunshine on the just and the unjust. We live in a world that is the recipient of God's general grace. God is loving. Scripture says God is long-suffering. Why has He not returned yet? Because He desires that none perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. But one day, He will return, and His abundant grace will be over. Don't turn your back on God's abundant grace. There is no remedy. Listen to me if you don't get anything else today. If you turn your back on God's abundant grace, there is no remedy beyond that. You cannot get saved by the good deeds you did. You cannot be saved by the amount of money you have, how smart you are. None of that will save you. The only thing that will save you is a life given to Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus Christ, you being covered by His blood. Do not turn your back on the abundant grace of God. Secondly, we have abundant power. Now, man, I'd like to have a car that never ran out of gas, that was always on full. You crank it up and you're ready to go. Or have batteries that don't ever die. You ever notice, you know, when you get those Christmas toys out that require batteries and you put them in there, they work about 1 hour and you got to replace your batteries because those batteries that Santa Claus puts in there are not the best batteries sometimes, right? So, abundant power. Jeremiah 17:8 says this, "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." I was in Arizona 1 year and I went up to, I forgot the name of the little state park. I think it was Red Rock State Park. And if you've never been to Arizona, let me tell you one word describes Arizona. Dry. Hot would too, that's right. But dry. Everything is dry. But I was up on this little butte, I guess you would say, plateau. And I looked down, and sure enough, man, there was a string of green. A string of green in this park that was otherwise red dirt and rock and scrubby little brush. And I realized what they call a river. We'd call it a creek here. It wasn't very big. But it was they called it a river. And it was flowing. It was enough water. It was flowing. And guess what was all by this little river? Trees. Now, they call them sycamores. And they did have the big leaves. They were not as big as they are here. But they were green and they were big trees for out there especially. Why was it that way? Because it was by a source of water that was there even in the dry of the desert summer. Your life, you may feel like you're dried up. Sometimes you may feel like you're inadequate. You need to make sure you've got a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're spending time in His Word. You're spending time with Him. You're worshiping Him. And as you do those things, what happens? Those roots grow down into His Word, into Him, and we abide in Him. That means we live daily in Him, and He fills us to overflowing with His Spirit. And before you know it, you're bearing fruit. You've got the green leaves in the midst of a drought. Let's keep going as we talk about abundant power. What kind of power? We're talking about the power present in the person of God's Spirit. Can you say that fast? Present in the person of God's Spirit. The power of God is present in the person of God's Spirit, which you and I get when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of the covenant, was the symbol of God's presence with His people in the time of Moses and Aaron and David and later on. But now we don't need the Ark of the Covenant because we have a new covenant, and the presence of God is the presence of His Spirit alive in us. We are sealed, Scripture says, by the person of God Himself. You can't get any more powerful than that. Amen? You don't need a battery that doesn't need recharging. You don't need the gasoline because you got the Spirit of God. It doesn't get any more powerful than that. Power to overcome. you know, the Baptist National Anthem, Victory in Jesus. Where does that victory come from? Jesus Christ. We've got the power to overcome whatever we need to overcome, whatever the tempter throws in our path, whatever the enemy erects in our path. Scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail against His church. And you are the church. Amen? So you have the power to overcome. You have the power to persevere, to keep on keeping on, even when you feel like you're alone. Sometimes you'll feel that way. I understand. I've been there. Elijah felt that way, but trust me, you're never alone. You know, sometimes our feelings will mess us up. So don't go just on your feelings. Go on what God's Word says. You're never alone. You have the power to overcome. You got the power to persevere. You got the power to achieve the goal. Cross that finish line and get that gold. Paul says life is not a sprint. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Lower your head and keep on going. Keep on running. I've shared before with you guys about us running that first time with Coach Costes. And you know, we were 18 years old. We're going to run this old man in the ground. He had our tongues hanging out because he gave us a long distance run, and he was a marathon runner. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Are you in it for the long haul? Because God's Spirit gives you the power to achieve that goal. We run to achieve the goal, the ultimate goal of our prize of our life in Christ Jesus. And power to resist the kingdom of Satan. You don't have to give in. You know, Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. The devil does not have that power. As a matter of fact, truth be told, a lot of times we give Satan credit for what Satan does not do. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Amen? We do it to ourselves. Satan don't have to lift a finger. But if he does, remember Job? Satan can't touch you without permission. And whatever temptation Satan puts out in front of you, you don't have to give in to it. You don't have to give in to it. I love my mom, and she was telling me, it's been a while back, she was taking some new medicine, and she said it was making her gain weight. And she went to the doctor, and you have to know my mom, she's bad about deciding something and changing her prescription based on what she decides. But she went to the doctor, and she was saying, you know, whatever this medicine was, she said, I don't think I'm going to keep taking this. And he said, really? Why is that? Because it's good for this, that, and the other. She said, it makes me gain weight. And you'll have to know the doctor. But he looked at her and he said, don't make you eat. I don't know what she could say to that because the doctor was right. Satan can't make you do anything. You can resist the temptation in the Spirit of God. In the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's keep going. Thirdly, abundant life. Abundant life. You see, that's God's design. He created you and me to live forever with Him. That's the plan. Now, we messed up. We got off that plan when we sinned. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you to get us back on track where we can live forever. Because you're going to live forever. The only choice is where you're going to live. With Him or apart from Him in a place called hell. It's God's design for you to live forever with Him. But not just starting hereafter, but starting here and today as well. He gives you the abundant life, the power, the life to fulfill your purpose. Let me ask you, have you ever thought about what your purpose is in life? Why do you exist? You're not an accident. You may have been a surprise to your parents, but you're not an accident. Scripture says God knew you when He formed you in the womb. He had a plan for you before He even finished. He's got a purpose for you. Let me ask you, have you found that purpose? And are you pursuing that purpose? Are you really living? Now, a lot of times Satan will tell you, you know, if you really want to live, you need to not be worrying about Jesus. You need to get out and really live. Do your own thing. Well, your own thing leads to death. your own thing is not really living. You don't know real life till you know Jesus Christ. Amen? You don't know real life until you know Jesus Christ. You don't experience those. Your eyes are scaled over. You don't know. Now, you may exist. You may fulfill the biological definition of life, but you're not really living till you meet Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, God gives you the real thing, and it's found in Jesus Christ. And He gives you that abundant life, not just hereafter. Jesus didn't come just to give you a fire insurance policy. He came to give you life and life more abundantly starting today. Not just hereafter, but starting today. Here's your compass point. Do not strive to collect things. Don't strive to collect items. Strive to collect experiences, because you're not going to take anything with you. Make a difference with your life, and Jesus will make you truly alive. The only way you're going to make a difference in your life is if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you have not met Him, I urge you before you leave this building this afternoon to make sure that you deal with Him. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and life and be my Savior, be my Lord. Forgive me of my sins. Bring real life and help me to live my life for You. If that's your prayer, He'll come in and He will give you life and life more abundantly. Father, as we come to this invitational portion of the service, I pray that as our heads are bowed and our hearts are open before You, that we will allow Your Spirit to work in us, Your will and Your way. That, Father, whether we need to admit that we're a sinner and have never asked You in, and if we need to say, Lord, forgive me and save me, or perhaps we are a Christian, but we haven't been walking with You, and we need to say, Lord, I just want to come back to You to renew my vow to You and to thank You again for Your saving grace. And, Father, to ask that You help me follow You closer day by day. Help me to experience the full and the rich and the abundant life that only comes from You. Whatever your prayer is, pour your heart out to God right now. And then the altar will be open. And whatever you need to make known publicly, you'll have an option and an opportunity to do that. Father, thank You for loving us and blessing us. We are Yours. This time is Yours. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please?